Abby Lindsay Clark, and you are listening to Radio Lifestyle. Welcome to another of our Corona interviews. Today, we will hear from Carla Palafox, a psychologist who will share with us some thoughts and advice about the coronavirus and these strange times we are all living. Hi, Carla. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
So, Carla, just tell me a little bit about you. You studied psychology in Germany, is that correct?
No, I studied psychology in Spain.
Okay.
Because I'm half Spanish, half German, but mm-hmm. I studied the psychology here in Spain. And then I moved to Berlin and I did there my clinical training.
Okay.
So all of my clinical work, I did it in Berlin, in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And now I was and worked there for 10 years in total. And since 2018, like 2 years ago, I moved back to Madrid.
Okay, perfect. So let's start looking a little bit at these corona times. Obviously, mm-hmm. they've been very challenging for many people, especially with the period of strict lockdown. And many people have suffered depression, I understand, and also obviously a fear of leaving home. How can you help these people? What advice would you give them?
Well, it's, of course, every person is different and the way of developing symptoms and so on is different. But in general, we would say, or I would say, that it's now time to like build up again old and new routines mm-hmm. due to the actual situation. So it's like to see what things that I enjoyed doing before I can start doing now again, as well as what things I have to do now, like going to work if I have to go to, or working at home, etc. Do I have to do? And at the same time, looking what things have changed and which changes I have to incorporate to my new life now. So it's like to see what of these depressive thoughts are still there and how can we deal with them, and then to build up the new routines and also back the old things that can be adapted to the moment right now.
Mm-hmm. I see. That makes sense. It sounds logical. Mm-hmm. That's good advice. It must be very hard for you all in the psychology profession to deal with helping these people. How are your colleagues coping? I understand that at the moment you're not working with anyone in particular, but through speaking with your colleagues, do you know how are they all coping? It must be very tough times for them too.
It is actually. I have different colleagues working in different places, like some of them in the emergency departments, other of them in their private practice. So everyone is affected. And I think that's the biggest challenge in this actual situation, that every one of us is affected by coronavirus as well as our patients. So it's hard. And at the same time, it's like very, very important, because it's like this to take care of ourselves as well as of our patients. So to distinguish between working time and free time, and not like having the whole time affected by this topic from the one hand, on the one hand by our patients, and on the other hand by ourselves and our private lives, which are affected also.
Yes. So learning how to disconnect is very important. Yes.
Exactly.
Mm. So it has been particularly hard on the children, especially during the period when they were not allowed to leave their homes at all. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it has been really, really difficult and challenging for the children and for the families. And I think if you think about the different stages of development of the children, there are people who have kids at school and say, oh, if they weren't at school, it would be much easier. But people, on the other hand, saying, oh, my children are not at school, but it's really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a challenge for everybody. And every stage of development is a huge responsibility and challenge to deal with that. So I think it has both sides, like always with crisis. You have in crisis situations always have the difficult part and the suffering part, and also the challenge and the opportunity part. So mm-hmm. we have very, very different situations. On the one hand, we have kids saying, oh, I love coronavirus, because since then I get to have more time with my parents.
Yes.
Normally they wouldn't be there as much. And on the other hand, of course, you have lots of stress in the families, because there is no no way of having some time without the children. So
Yeah,
it's
two
really a
sides to
difficult
it.
outcome.
Yes, very much so. I have heard actually through sort of friends and family of a lot of children, especially the younger ones, who've been finding it hard to go out into the street again due to fear, and many have been happier to continue staying at home. What advice would you give parents to help them rebuild their confidence?
That's actually something what is happening not to all of the children, and again there is a big diversity, so there are children who are just jumping out on the street and other ones saying no, I'd rather stay home. So it's important to know that the habit is created normally, you say, within 21 days. So this was actually a lot more than 21 days, so
It
the
was.
habit of going out is gone, and we need to recreate these habits, but to integrate that actually the fear this children experience is on the one hand real, and then we have to distinguish what part is real and what part is perhaps too much, you know.
Yes.
So it's like important that to recreate the habit of going out, and also including all precaution advices, and which is in the frame we can manage. So to clear up, there is no magic that this is a virus and we can prevent from getting infected, and we wash our hands and we keep our distances and etc. But it's important also that we create again new positive experiences outside, because it was a pretty long time where people were scared of going outside because there was some sort of risk. And I mean, it is still, but it's not the same, and we can again have positive experiences outside, and that's what we need to rebuild with our children.
Of course.
So it's like integrating both, like living and having fun, and on the other hand living with the fear, okay, there is some risk and we are trying our best to prevent it.
Yes, I understand. So, if there are, still sort of a few children who probably are still finding it quite challenging, what advice would you give them? Would you sort of say to do it sort of step by step, very slowly, sort of start going out once in a while with them, and for short walks, or what advice would you give the parents who are still finding this a challenge with their children?
I think it's important not to force anyone to do something they don't want to, but at the same time, like to speak to the children and to really ask them, what are your fears? What could happen? Why do you want to prefer to stay home? Because maybe the answer is not related to that. Maybe actually the answer could be something like, I enjoy spending time with you, and when we go on the street, you are doing your stuff, I'm doing mine, and I really don't get to see you, you know? So it's really important to speak and to talk and to ask, what is why don't you want to come outside, or what are your fears, what are you afraid of, so that we can talk about it. Because very often children have fears which are on the one hand realistic, and on the other hand there are sometimes also magical components, and that's the part where parents are very important to reassure children, okay, there's no flying virus who can invade you, and you are not safer within your four walls. So
Yes.
it's important to that we go outside, and then we and that we learn how to manage that, and that there is a risk, so we have to wash our hands, but it's not contagious by any magical thoughts. And then, like to say, oh, what do you think? Shall we go out just for a quick walk, as you said, like 10 minutes? Let's just go for a little round and try to see, for example, how many colors do you see, and how many birds, and how many cars, and like to make a little bit a bit of a play and of a fun time going outside. And then afterwards, talking about this again, like, and how was it? Was it as bad as you thought? And was it okay? You know, like not to pretend there is anything going on, but to ask again and to say, well, you know, I would really enjoy if we go for a longer walk tomorrow. We could go there and there. What do you think about that?
So step by step, taking it sort of with small steps and sort of gradually building up their confidence at the end of the day. I understand. That's
Exactly.
great advice. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So people have had to become very flexible in their way of working, with many families having to balance family life with work. How do you think this has sort of affected people?
Well, again, I think there you have all kind of different situation, no? And I think there are families who have been able to divide very well, like the family time and working time and free time because, for example, there are two parents or even bigger families. But there are other families who have to combine both times at the same time, you know, being with the children and at the same time working.
Yes.
And that's the risk I see, is that like time schedules have gotten a little bit confused right now. So lots of parents I know have been working in hours they usually wouldn't have been working, but because they are at home and they have to take care of the families. So I think it's really important to try to have a separation between work time and free time, even though we have to combine it, but to say, okay, the next 2 hours are working time because I talk to my partner or the father, mother of our children if we have split up or anything. And I know I have like 1 hour or two to concentrate, and then I make a cut, and then I know I have 2 hours to be with the children or to do stuff at home or what. Ever. Like to try to keep that as sharp as possible.
Yes, no, great advice. I understand. I mean, a lot of parents, you know, haven't had much choice but to lean on modern technology so much during this time, you know, with tablets and iPads to entertain their children. Do you think this has had a negative effect on them, on the children?
Well, I think it depends on how you continue using it right now. I think if it's very, very probable what you are asking, that lots of families haven't had another choice, even though they would have loved to do it differently. So I think it's important that if we can explain that this time was an exception because we didn't have any other ways of entertainment or not as much, and that we now are including again other ways of entertainment and of doing fun stuff, then I think there is it's not such a big risk. The problem is if we now keep on to that as a habit, if now tablets and everything become the entertainment way for us. So that's why it is also important to go out again, to have new routines and old routines, so to say, and to see, okay, with whom can we have a play date, or with whom can we do something fun, or do we do it on our own, but to do also other things which aren't related to screens.
Yes.
And also at home, like to try to find, okay, there is screen time and there is maybe times where we are playing with our phones, tablets, etc. But there are times where we don't use that and we're doing other stuff, which is fun.
Yes, absolutely. So many people who have suffered the virus in a serious way, but have thankfully made a full recovery, they are suffering from post-traumatic symptoms, above all from the fear of the ordeal that they've been through. What guidance would you give these people to help them get back to normal life?
Well, this is a very big topic for lots of people, and it's important to know, just for us to have it in mind, that on the one hand we have what we call the acute stress disorder. It's symptoms which develop normally 3 days after the exposure to traumatic events until 4 weeks. So this is a reaction which is normal in most of people, but it's important to deal with this in the sense of trying again to integrate both. There is a risk, and it's normal to be afraid after such a big and horrible experience, and it's absolutely normal to be cautious, but it's also important to talk about what's happening with us and what's happening with those people, with their families, with their friends, etc., and not to try to cover it and to say, okay, now everything's fine and everything has to be fine, because actually that's very much of a bigger risk if we pretend that anything is happening. And it's absolutely normal, and I think this is really, really important, absolutely normal that that we develop this kind of anxiety symptoms and depressive symptoms and really big fear of getting exposed to this again.
Yes.
And if we notice, okay, these symptoms remain after 4 to 6 weeks. Normally after 4 weeks, we say this is the time where this acute stress disorder is normally over. I
Okay.
mean, if it's 6 weeks, it's fine. There's no problem. There's no mathematical
Kind of six
break.
weeks tops, basically. So if it goes on past the 6 weeks, six week
Exactly.
timeline, then you would recommend perhaps that the person seek a professional help to talk
Exactly.
about their problems.
Exactly. I would say that, and I would say also like to take a little bit away, because it's still, I mean, I hope within the next years psychological treatment gets normal or is normal, but still it has a lot of stigma. So
Yes.
there's nothing wrong with somebody who is experiencing the symptoms for a longer time. It's just to get professional help to prevent it from getting worse. That's
Yes,
the main point.
I understand. So, of course, not only the patients, but the people who've been working, in the medical profession, who obviously have experienced so many terrible, terrible moments, especially the ones on the front line. What advice would you give them to help them get over such traumatic times?
This is a very, very important aspect, because they have had a different confrontation with all of this situation. So it's important on the one hand, like with the other people, on the one hand to rebuild your habits and your routines and your private life. But on the other hand, they have experienced things which haven't been experienced by other people. So it's important that they share these things also with their colleagues if they have been working in a team. And I know that there are lots of hospitals and clinics and so on offering services to professionals who have dealt with these situations, like debriefing groups, which is a one-time session where you like get to a little bit of sum up and analyze what has been going on, and has the aim to prevent people from getting further problems with that. And at the same time, like to ask and then in their working environment, which ways of helping us do you have? So it's important like to share, and to share with the colleagues and within the work, also of course with family and friends. But there is very important also to get back to their own routine. Lots of people have been working much more time than they would usually have done. So it's
Yes.
important again, like that they get back their lives, and they go shopping, and they do the groceries, and they do the stuff they do at home, and they play with their children or have a pleasuring time with their families.
Yes, the more sort of everyday routine life is very important as well, sort of, I imagine, to help them sort of get back into the norm, as it were.
Exactly.
So
And
I.
here too, with the same time frame like the other ones, if after 4 or 6 weeks I notice, okay, I'm not able to work very well, or this is really being complicated for me, also again, like looking for professional help to prevent further complications.
Okay. So we're all, hoping that there won't be, but I do see it as unlikely if we can continue being disciplined as we are, wearing our masks, taking all the precautions which are recommended to us. But if there should be another outbreak, how would you guide the medical staff in preparing themselves for this hopefully unlikely possibility?
Yeah, really, hopefully unlikely, but at the same time, I think it's really important just to ask this question, because actually I hope it's not coming, but it seems likely that maybe it happens again. So, and even if it's not this, maybe another thing. So it's really good to prepare ourselves for another round of this. And for medical staff, I think it's important to use the previous experience to, on the one hand, distinguish between what things are under my power, what can we like prevent from happening again, at one, and what can't we prevent from happening again. So the things where we have a choice, or where we can prepare ourselves, there it would be important to see at the three levels or three layers. On the one hand, what can I do for myself as a professional, like for me in my work? On the other hand, what can we do as a team, or as a hospital, for example? How can we prepare all of the team and the environment to be as good prepared as possible? And on the other hand, how do I prepare privately with my family, with my friends, with my environment? How can I like remember what would I have liked to change back then, and what can I prepare differently?
Yes. And I imagine especially teamwork in these kind of things is so important because, they can lean on each other, with their colleagues who they're working closely with, and at the end of the day support each other as well as preparing for it, but also sort of emotionally supporting each other as well.
Exactly. So therefore, it will be important on these three layers I talked about also to see who can I rely on and who are my people where I can just, let it go and speak for me and to debrief myself. And on the other hand, what are the people I have or I want to lean on but are also working with me? So like to try to be empathetic with my responsibilities and the difficulties and also with those of my colleagues in order not to burn out and to prevent relationships to getting complicated in such complicated times and to have it as a support group
Yes.
and not as a more problem, so to say.
Definitely. One of the most tragic things about this pandemic has been the fact that there are so many people who have lost their loved ones but haven't been able to say goodbye. What words can you share with them to at least perhaps console them in these hard times?
I think it's definitely terrible. So I think that no words can make this kind of pain go away. But maybe it's important, or not, but it's just simply important to acknowledge that this is a really, really difficult situation. So normally losing somebody is complicated anyway. And in this context, it's even harder. So there was no other possibility to do something different and to be there with your loved ones. There was no possibility. So it's important to be aware of that so that there is no guilt or that we
Yes.
try not to feel guilty about not having been with our loved ones because there was no other chance. And also we know that mental connection and presence is of course not the same than being there, but we're still with the person even though it's in our minds. And it's very important that we in this sense that we make our own goodbye in order to start the grieving process, which is the normal thing to do when we lose somebody. I think it's really important as we couldn't say goodbye there or be there with our loved ones that we do it on our own or with our families or with a group of people, and then we can start the grieving process, which normally takes 1 year. If we notice after 1 year or after several months after this year, there again, we would like look for professional help to prevent it from getting worse because we know that this is a big risk factor. If we couldn't say goodbye, it's a risk factor for complicated grieving processes. So I would say it's important that people give themselves the time to grieve and at the same time be aware of, okay, if I notice that this is taking much longer than 1 year, that I get the help I need to grieve.
Yes. No, that's great advice. Thank you so much for giving that advice, because I all the way through this terrible process, I've been thinking so much about these people, and I have some friends as well who've been through this, and I understand, very much for them, as you say, the loss, losing someone is hard enough, but I think a lot of them have been dealing with that feeling of sadness and guilt that you explained, because you have not been able to be there for that person at the end. So hopefully these words, I'm sure, will help people.
I
One other
hope you
thing,
too.
the other thing, obviously losing someone is very hard anyway. And I was just wondering if you could give us sort of three pieces of advice that you would give people to help them guide them through dealing with a loss.
I mean, if I have to reduce it to three, I think the most important things are on the one hand this saying goodbye and to choose how to do it. Do I want to do it rather on my own or do I want it to do it in a group? It can be family or it can be a group of friends, whatever it is necessary, or do I want to do both? But in any case, it's very, very important that we say goodbye. And on the other hand, it's really important that we are aware that grieving process takes more or less, as I said, 1 year. And it's really important that it's normal to feel very different kind of things within that time, that they are all okay. So it's okay to feel guilty, even though I know, okay, there is no real guilt I have. And it's okay to feel angry, perhaps, at the system or even at the person who has left, to say, how could she do this to me or he do this to me, even though we know it wasn't their choice. It's also absolutely normal to feel sad or to feel helpless because we couldn't do anything else. So yes, it's important, like within this time, that we give space and have the space to feel, and at the same time to have time to where we say, okay, and now we are doing something different. So to combine both. And in this sense, it's important, and that would be my third advice, like to plan pleasant activities to do, and to do them even though we don't feel the pleasure by doing that, because that's absolutely normal in the beginning, that I do things which usually were funny or were pleasant or whatever, and that we don't enjoy them the same way we did before. But it's really important to stick to that, as well as having time to think about the lost person and to grieve. So I think the important thing is not to deny any part, not to deny life goes on, and not to deny I have lost somebody, and it's a really hard time for me.
Definitely, that's great advice. Thank you so much, Carla. Now, it's looking like in September, the children will be going back to school. And what advice can you give parents to help them prepare them for school after such a long time?
I think it would be important, like we said before, with the thing with the going out, the same, like sitting with them and talking to them, and to ask them, tell me, what are you looking for when you go back, if you go back to school in September, what are the things you are willing to do, or who do you want to see? And at the same time, what scares you? What are your fears? And again, to see, with the fears, can we do something to prevent them? Can we do something to prepare them how it will be, or what gives me safety? Also, what are the school politics in the sense of preventing
hygiene and
exactly hygiene processes and so on. And at the same time, I think there will be lots of fears which can just be checked once the children are going to school again. So it's important also that we talk with our children after they come back from school, and to see, and how was it like? What was difficult for you? What was nice? What is the next step? What are you afraid of? Like to keep in touch with the children, to talk about these things, and not to make them do as if everything is fine, or to force them into going without having understood why they don't want to go, or what scares them. But yes, I think if we prevent that by talking, I think we can really deal with a lot of them.
Definitely, thank you. Mm-hmm. So it's looking again, sort of looking at the workplace again. It is looking quite likely that many companies will continue to promote working from home long term, as they have seen sort of during this period that economically and logistically speaking, it has proved beneficial for them. Do you think that on a psychological level, most people will be happy working from home instead of in a more sociable work environment?
I think it's difficult to say what will most of people experience, but I think every kind of scenario is probably real. And each of us is very, very different. So I have colleagues or friends of mine working in different environments telling me I love working from home, and others telling me, like, I hate this and I need my colleagues and I need to go to my office. So I think it will be very important that for those who don't enjoy working from home, that they look for alternatives. On the one hand, in the free time, of course, to do things with other people, but maybe also to be creative in the working environment, and to say, okay, I don't enjoy working for myself or working from home. So maybe we can talk about is there another place where I can go to work from, or is there a way I can work with other colleagues virtually or live? So maybe some colleagues can meet at one's place and they work from there, or they are connected by Skype, Zoom, etc., and they are working together even though they are not talking, but they have just the ambience or the moment of sharing working time. Or also having a break together and to say, okay, we're working, everybody's at home, but our group of colleagues, we do a coffee break at 11, for example. Yes. And then we meet via Zoom or via whatever we like, but we share the coffee moment and we share the things we're working on.
Yes,
so I think
great.
It's time to get creative.
Yeah, I think it's a really nice sort of happy medium. It's a really good way of looking at it because you're still getting that balance and not feeling so isolated in your own
exactly.
home working. That's great. Great advice. So I'm always one for, you know, trying to see the good in, you know, in even a horrible situation. And so, well, I try. So I want to ask you, what benefits do you think have come, especially from the lockdown period, but also from this whole experience we're all living, and generally sort of people's attitude towards life? Mm-hmm. What good things do you feel has come from this? What can we take from it?
I think, honestly, I think we can take a lot of things. And I hope that really, despite of all the suffering the situation has caused, which we can't forget, of course, and still causes, I think it's important that we have had the experience that things we take for granted are not. So I think it has obliged us to see what is really important for me. And on the one hand, to be aware of that, and therefore, on the other hand, to enjoy it more consciously. So I hope very much that we take this as a chance or to be more aware of the things that really matter and to enjoy them consciously and not to forget too quickly about that. And to be aware that oh, maybe sitting at some bar and having a glass of wine with a friend is really, really a gift. And I try mm-hmm. to enjoy it much more than I did it before, even though, of course, I had fun before. But to enjoy this moment of, okay, how nice to have that and how good to be able to experience that, or the same with work or with family or whatever, or that distance is can be a problem and that we can't go wherever we want in the time we want, and to like enjoy much more the time we spend together.
Definitely. No, I think that's great. I mean, I wonder sort of how easy people will find it now that we are getting back to a sort of semi-normal life gradually. Do you think people will be capable of holding on easily to that new sort of found attitude? Or do you think a lot of people will find themselves gradually kind of slipping back into their old, you know, routine and their old way of thinking?
I want to tell you, no, it won't be that quick, but I really think there will be both. I think, I think it's very probable that lots of people slip back again to the other rhythm. At the same time, I think this has been so big, and that the probability that something like this, even though it's not as hard, I hope, happens again, maybe helps us to remember that and to stick to this new attitude. Or that, and I think that's also our responsibility as human beings, like to remember it to ourselves and to others too, like to say, oh, can you remember a month ago this was even yes. Possible? So I hope very much that within a year we say, oh, can you remember 1 year from now or backwards we weren't able to do this, how nice that we can do this right now. So like to have different ways to remember this and to put it into context and be aware again of that.
Absolutely. Oh, Carla, thank you so much for all your advice. I know that it's going to be of huge help to many people and huge interest to many people. So thank you so much for coming on the program and explaining so many important and useful things to us.
Very, very happy to do that. And thanks a lot for inviting me. And I really hope that it helps. And Thank you very much for doing this and for sharing this with people.
Thank you.